Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me is always the very lovely and eternally charming Diane Brierley. Also, the amazing Philip James Unger, heir to the vast Unger fortune.
With
up to $27, I think, as of this morning. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incredibly strange and odd program. Stop.
Carried away with the slasher music this morning.
This is the show that handles your marital problems, your dating dilemmas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's how the show works. If you have a question about anything, you can send it to us. Nothing's off limits, hence the warning at the beginning of the show, because many of the questions tend to be of a sexual nature. Why is that? Because we're talking about marriage. Marriage is fundamentally a sexual contract. You can stay entirely anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest. This show is a show of brutal honesty. While every other show in the world, it will be very concerned about your feelings. We don't care about your feelings. So if you're not up for that, don't email me. Lots of other places you can email. If we like what you have to say, we will celebrate. We will clap. We will cheer for your brilliant thoughts. If we don't like what you have to say, we'll castigate you. Three versions of castigation. If we think you need to be awakened out of your delusions, we'll stick your head in the toilet and give you a swirly. Hopefully the water spinning around your head will break you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on with too many unnecessarily unrelated details, which many are prone to do, you get the chicken. You get all three, you're officially crazy. All right, what do you got?
Okay, according to the University of Denver study, people who cheat in one relationship are 3.5 times more likely to cheat in the next one. And it doesn't even matter what type of cheating occurred or the reasons behind it. Whether it's but I was drunk and it was just a one-time incident or an ongoing affair, the stats still stand. What's really sad, though, is that the study also showed that those who are cheated on are more likely to be cheated on again, which just sucks, really, they say.
That's fascinating.
Sure, people who cheat are more likely to cheat again, but that doesn't mean they definitely will. Everyone's different, and people do occasionally learn from their mistakes. Our advice? Give people a chance. Try to understand, but know when to walk away when it looks like a pattern.
Hmm.
Where'd you meet her? Down at
I don't play the whole song. It's a great song. Hilarious. But I assume I can only use 20, 30 seconds legally. So
so you have to look that up yourself.
So I have to look it up. Is my volume really down on this thing, Tim? Or is it me? How do you fix that? You need to be smarter than the equipment that you use. That's my problem today.
If you turn it up, it gets louder.
Oh, is that?
There's a volume button.
Well, that was what throwing
Usually
me.
Usually has a little speaker on it.
I hate you all. Anyway, a couple of interesting things from this. One is that I think it's true. People who tend to cross lines have a hard time stopping to cross lines. This is without a doubt. The other thing I would say is in the Christian worldview, that's very different because we believe without question that no matter what you were, you can be something different. God can come into your life, change you entirely. Now, this is a pitfall for many Christian women. Because there's that fine line of, you know, if you take faith out of it, yeah, if someone's done it once, you just stay away from them all the time. In the Christian worldview, we believe people can change, very much so. So it's a bit of a trap because a lot of women are so prone, Christian women, that even though they know the guy is a lying whatever, they're quick to receive him back as long as he said he's sorry and prayed about it. And sadly, he tends to repeat it. Does that mean that people cannot change? No, people can change without question. There's more testimonies than you could possibly hold of people who used to be one thing and because of God's grace in their life have totally become something else. So there's no question about that. The real challenge for, I think, Christian girls, especially those that are dating, is to test it. You know, see, give it some time. See what they're like. You know, if someone punches you in the face and says, oh man, I'm really sorry, well, you might want to wait more than a day or two to see if he's going to do it again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, give it some time. If a guy has had all kinds of problems and he's gone a year or two and has really grown in his faith and he just hasn't had a repetition, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it's just, yes. It's kind of an odd thing. So the other part of this was that women who've been cheated on, or not just women, but anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tend to hook up with other cheaters.
Yeah.
Now, that is fascinating.
That you're drawn to the same kind of person, the same
and
situation.
I don't know what that's about. I've heard of tests. I don't know if it's an urban legend or not, but where if you take someone, a woman who's been abused, and a man who's been known to be an abuser, and you put them in a social environment, like in a small party or something like in someone's house, overwhelmingly, by the end of the day, night, those two connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a magnet. I mean, how's that even possible? Mm-hmm. You know, someone has to be a lot smarter than me to figure this out, but there must be some really deep sea. There's some radar things that they're putting out, you know, and the other one's picking up on. But for that, again, I don't know if that's really true. Have you heard that before?
I have heard that, but I've not been able to locate
It might be an urban legend, but it wouldn't surprise me because of this fact.
Yeah.
That those who've been cheated on tend to find other people who are cheaters.
Well, anecdotally, it seems to play out anyway.
Yeah, so. And you see it over and over. Mm-hmm. So I think, I'm not sure what the answer to that is. But, except again, I think even the victim of these things needs to, from a Christian worldview, let God's grace come into them and change them. The good news of Christianity is you can change. We can change. I absolutely believe that. I've changed. Good Lord. I was one horrible. You think I'm horrible now, Diane?
Good thing I didn't know you all those years
ago. You should have seen me before when I was really horrible. So that's the glorious thing about the Christian faith. It's also the thing that gets a little tricky because we assume, because I would very much, I think I could be easily duped into bad situations because I so believe in people changing and Jesus changing people that it'd be easy for me to slip into it if I'm not paying attention. You got to really look and see if people are really living it out.
Yeah.
And that's the, I guess, the main thing about letting them be vetted, you know, let other people who really know these people speak into your life. In other words, don't try to figure it out on your own. That's the great thing about the Christian community. The problem about dating, and this is the thing that women seem to really enjoy, they love to date people they don't know.
Mm-hmm. There's the romance and the mystery.
Oh, I know. They're famous for this. You know, here's an example. Take any church group, and there's all sorts of single boys and single girls, and of course, nobody can find anybody who's to marry. It's impossible, you know, because you know, there's nobody there. But then have some new kid come in. Mm-hmm. A new boy comes in. Now all the girls are like, ah. The same thing with the boys. A new girl comes in. Ah. All of a sudden, because everybody's drawn to something they don't know, you know? And that's
the problem.
That's
you
the
don't
problem.
Know. Right, exactly.
I mean, it's crazy. Ideally, in our churches, these young girls and young men that grow up in our church communities should grow up and marry each other. But they get so familiar with it. That's the problem with these youth groups, putting them all together and getting them so close. I think it's a bad idea. You take away all the mystery of it, and they're not attracted to each other. Let the girls do their thing, guys do their thing, you know, and let nature take its course as they grow up. But we're constantly doing all these things together all the time, spending all these times, and they're not interested in each other. For some bizarre, crazy reason, a new person, a new boy comes in, a new girl comes, everybody's interested, and then you repeat bad things. You don't know the person.
Mm-hmm.
Better to have someone that's truly been vetted that other people know and can say, hey, this is a really good guy, it's a great girl, and listen to them. And don't just follow your heart. Your heart will get you in all kinds of problems.
So to like vet them out, should you play like some kind of game, like game Monopoly, and like see if they cheat, like leave money out there and try and entrap them?
Yeah, you could.
Did the study mention anything about cross-cheating?
No,
cross-cheating.
So, like, if you cheat in one area, you're more likely to cheat in another?
It wouldn't surprise me if that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's a good vetting thing? The good thing is the people who really know you.
Yeah.
I, talking to this girl, that my friends really know her. Yeah. See, the problem, again, in the dating scenario is people are drawn to new people who pop in and nobody knows them.
Yeah. They come from nowhere.
They come out of nowhere. This new guy's coming to our church, and everybody encourages, oh, you're going to really like him. And then we have all these disasters. Yeah. We've got to stop this chasing after stuff that nobody knows. But what is a great vetting thing? They always say, because you can't do it just with a boy and a girl, but you want to really get to know somebody, go on a road trip with them.
Yeah.
Or go camping, you know.
That's more irritation and frustration. That's not cheating. It's like there has to be some sort of, it feels right, there has to be some scenario.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, better. What I do know is if you really know somebody, your friends at least really know somebody, you can listen to them. And just try to avoid this mystery, the mystery meat. Yeah. You know, like,
well, because you get so caught up in just their appearance and that they seem really nice. You're terrible for that. You think that any girl who's pretty, I'm so good looking
that I walk in and immediately everybody falls in love with me. Yeah. There's nothing that they can do, and I understand, but they don't really know me.
Yeah. That's right.
What do you mean I'm terrible?
You're awful. You say, you talk about these girls, they're so pretty. Why doesn't someone, but then I know some of the stuff about these girls, and it's
Nancy's pretty.
Seriously.
You're sort of pretty. Phil's really pretty. I don't know. I'm an old man. I look at young people. Oh, they look nice. They look great.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot more to it than that. Oh, you're easily duped.
All right, let's get away from talking to her because I'm sick of listening to her. And let's come back with your emails right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today. Down in my heart.
You're back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Mark Gunger, Diane Briley, Phil Gunger, answering your emails about relationships. What have you got there?
Okay, I think you're really going to like this one. He says, Dear Pastor Mark, in Luke 18, 29 through 30, it is written... And he said...
Oh, 1829 through 30. And he, different.
I'm going to quote it for you. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he goes on.
Okay.
It suggests that the apostles left their wives at home. So my question is... If I would like to leave everything for the gospel, how would you think one should go about it? For instance, if I would have left my wife to the care of my family, would that be okay? I ask this because I am repulsed by this world, and I don't want to gather stuff that will burn anyway. I can barely sustain my own household. I am grateful that God provides for me, but when I see that my sister gets twice as much money from welfare for being pregnant than I do from working, my job becomes so much more meaningless. Besides, I am married over 3 years, and I can't get my wife pregnant, so why waste time on building a home anyway? So, I want to follow Jesus. Do I just throw everything and go, or do I do something first?
Wow, heavy duty stuff. You know, there are parts of the Bible and the scriptures that you read that you don't really quite understand the tough ones. Mm-hmm. This is a tough one because what he quoted is true. Jesus talked about people who leave everything, including wives, and that it is implied that the disciples did the same. It is certainly implied that certainly to pick that up. The only thing that balances that out is later Paul talks about the other apostles who have their wives.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently maybe they didn't just abandon them permanently. Well, when they were with Jesus. Yeah, I have to remember, Jesus' ministry was a very short ministry. The whole thing was over in 3 years. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened. According to Paul's implication, is they went back to their wives. So I don't know. I mean, you know, a question like this, something that's this deep in the weeds, you don't email somebody, is all I would say to this guy. That's something you talk to your own pastor, and you work that through. You know, you really feel God's calling you to something. Sometimes, yeah, some big sacrifices have to be made. There are people who have done incredible sacrifices and they have left. I think there's a difference between, you know, coming to some kind of a mutual understanding and this is what God's called me to do. And, you know, there are people who've gone in the mission field and stuff, you know, who died in the mission field and their families and stuff. Otherwise, everybody was back home. That would be another category if you left your wife. That's not the same as abandoning.
Well, it sounds like he's going to set her up to have her taken care of by his family.
That's
and
true.
Everything.
The only problem the caution I would have is it sounds like he's complaining about the fact that he can't get her pregnant, which means there might be other issues. And where's he going to go? What's he going to do?
Well, and at what point do you leave that wife and all of a sudden some other woman becomes attractive to you want to go on with your life?
No, I know. But let's say he really wants to be single, but I mean, where is he going to go?
Mission field, I guess. I don't know.
But he's not talking about that.
He didn't mention it.
He's just talking about, can't get her pregnant. Mm-hmm. My sister makes more money anyway. It sounds like he's burdened by the hassle of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got someone to take. Mom and dad will take care of, you know, cheeky poo, and I'm going to go serve Jesus. Well, his idea of serving Jesus by getting an apartment downtown and going to church on weekends. And,
yeah.
You know, that's not what we're talking about. You want to leave this country and you want to go to, you know, I don't know, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and under threat of your own life, trying to represent the gospel that God's calling you to. And okay, you got my attention. But there again, you need to work that through your own local pastor and stuff like that. I would just guess at this point, he sounds to me like he's more complaining than being called to something. Mm-hmm. Someone comes to me and God's really calling someone and it's really clear and circumstances have come together. And man, I feel like I ought to go to, you know, Iraq. Really? I don't know why it isn't. Someone comes, you know, hey, we have this opportunity to go. Another guy says, I had this dream last night. God told me to give you $10,000. You're supposed to go to Iraq. I mean, also everything lines up where it's just like God is screaming at you. And you go to your wife and she says, you know, I really feel something you should do. And mm-hmm. out of pain, you separate from mm-hmm. each other and you go do that. All right. I'm cool with that. I think that's the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't think it means, gee, my sister's making more money. I'm tired of paying bills. I can't get her pregnant anyway.
He has a little P.S. that is kind of telling. I saved this for the end intentionally.
Okay. Ah, you set me up.
Yeah, no, I didn't set you up.
Yeah, set me
because
up.
Because you went exactly the way that it was supposed to go. You went exactly the way that I knew that you would take it.
Well, I'm glad you approve.
His P.S. says, I know that you don't much care, but it would be nice if you could sometimes mention that besides laying down the law, a wife could actually obey her husband from time to time. So I'm thinking that there's some issues in his marriage.
Yeah, I think he's got some issues. When I talk about laying down the law, I'm talking about for men who act very badly in their behavior. For example, like in a church, we're supposed to obey our pastors. People understand that if you go to Bible, you know, go to church and read the Bible and stuff like that. But what if a pastor comes in drunk and he's stealing money and hitting on women? No, now you kick his butt. Mm-hmm. The same thing goes in the home. If a woman has a badly behaving man, she's not obligated to obey that man at that point. She should face. So that's absolutely true. The two are not contradictory. Everybody thinks it's contradictory because they can't think it through. It sounds to me, based on everything he said, he's not called anywhere. It just sounds like he's whining because he's not liking his situation. My advice is shut up.
Maybe she would agree to send him to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, if she's taking up offerings to send you somewhere else.
Right.
That might be a sign. Talk it over with the pastor. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
One day I'm gonna take her home. Make a record with All Along.
The music of Jimmy Bratcher, The Electric Rev. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails.
I should sell the space on my head for advertising. Wait, like when Nancy came right around?
That would be great.
Nike.
Like the side of a bus.
The Nike logo or something.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Email from a man again. He says, I'm going to be getting married in a few months, and a discussion came up between me and my fiancé. She doesn't like that I have been tempted before, and she thinks that since I was tempted, I wasn't loving her, and I wanted to look at other girls. I told her that being tempted is a part of life and will happen. And it wasn't because I was wanting to see other people, it was just temptation and the power of Satan to try to make me fall. Do you have any more input on this, or is there something that I can say to her to help her understand temptation and how it happens?
You know, there's a lot of women who have a hard time relating to this, and I'm not quite sure why. Obviously, they're not wired like men. You have to understand, men are visually stimulated. Here's a great way that you can probably really limit your temptation is gouge your eyes out.
Did you say gouge?
Yeah, gouge your eyes out. Or wrap a taper on your head. So you walk around totally blind all day long. You know, she sounds a little goofy to me. I think you're headed for some trouble, my friend. A woman who gets upset because you admitted you got tempted. Advice number one, don't tell her that. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be stupid.
Zip it.
I love God with all my heart, and I've been serving Jesus now 16 years old. I don't know there's been a day in my life where I haven't been tempted.
At some point during the day.
And most guys will admit that. Mm. You get 100 men, well, no, 100 women in a room, which is hard to do because women don't like each other. No, but let's say you get 100 women in a room and ask them what's their greatest temptation. You could get 40 different answers. Oh, well, I have fear, or I have insecurity, or I'm haunted by my past, or, you know, I've got anger issues, you know. You get 100 men. No, let's, by a factor of 10, let's get 1,000 men in a room and ask those 1,000 men what their number one temptation is. You'll get one answer. Sex. It's just every man's greatest temptation is sex. We feel tempted all the time. What does that mean? It doesn't mean jack. It just means you don't yield to temptation. You pray, Father, keep me from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Watch where you go. Watch little eyes what you see. Watch little hands what you touch. Watch little mouth what you say. You got to just behave yourself and be smart and wise about these situations. All right? Now, to varying degrees, depending on one's libido, some struggle more than others. And there's some women that will admit.
We've heard from other women.
Yeah, that they are, you know, they're more visually stimulated, and they, ooh, check out that guy. What does it mean? It's just, it's temptation, you know? You know when you'll be done with temptation? When you're dead. So, I don't know. My advice to any man is you don't say those things to your wife. I know guys who do this, and then they get in all kinds of trouble with their wives.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to be open. Really? Shut up. Go talk to your friends. Have some accountability path. Have some guys in the church. Have some buddies or something that you hang with and say, man, pray for me because, you know, holy cow, did you see that? And they'll all go, yeah, we saw that too, you know. You know. But you go to your wife and say, you know that new lady that moved in next door? Holy cow, she dropped dead gorgeous. Most women are going to knock your brains out. They're not going to like that. So don't talk to her about those sorts of things. And if your girlfriend's listening, your fiance's listening to this, reality check, girl. All men feel tempted. It's not that he doesn't love you more. Here's the thing. He feels tempted by all the women in the world. That's what men do. And out of all those women in the world, he's saying, I want you. So celebrate the fact that he loves you and he wants to celebrate the fact that he feels tempted. You're going to get married, his temptation doesn't go away. It'd be great if it did. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Beautiful me. We're back on the Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. So we just had a guy who wrote in who said that his fiance was upset because he was tempted by other women. And I said, all men are tempted by other women to varying degrees. And I said, look, he's always going to feel tempted by other women. The good news is of all the women in the world, he wants to be with you. If you beat up a guy every time he feels tempted by another woman, then he's not going to win. My son thinks I'm crazy, and so do you. Pipe in.
I did not say that. I thought you were crazy.
I want to listen to this.
I did not say that.
He did.
I say, there's no way that girl feels any better hearing that.
Well, is it not true? All men, not all men, but the still most men's most greatest men. Temptation.
I'm sure it's true, but to me, it's the same thing as, you know, my wife, how many times she must think I'm an idiot throughout the week. But it doesn't do any good, even though I think you're an idiot 95% of the time.
I'm glad you're my idiot.
You're my idiot.
No, I think it's a bad analogy. I
you
do.
You think that's a bad analogy?
Well, he is an idiot, but there's nothing you can do about it. No, I think it's a bad analogy.
Why?
I don't know why.
Because it disagrees with you.
Because it disagrees with me. Anything that goes against what I think, it obviously
is. I agree with you. It's a... It is what
it is. It's a normal male thing.
Yes.
A pretty woman comes in the room.
She shouldn't be naive. But the thing is, I think he's an idiot if he's regularly using her as an accountability partner.
Well, no, that I agree with. I said that.
Does she want to know, or is he thinking he needs to tell her? Both sides of that are wrong.
His number one problem is he's telling her what he's feeling.
But is she asking?
Still, you don't say it.
Okay, I agree with that.
That's the problem. The problem isn't her having a hard time with it.
There's two.
The problem is him sharing it with her.
Oh, no, I agree. I said that. Yes. Did I not say that?
Yes, you did.
Then shut up over there.
Yes, you did.
No,
he's just saying you weren't helpful to her.
You said all of that, and then he's like,
Look, of all the women in the world,
he struggles with this, and he chooses you.
That didn't help.
I will say that if my husband was looking at every other woman, and I knew he was tempted by all of this around, and I heard it, and I saw it, and I knew it, but yeah, he came and said, "Yeah, but I'm married to you." That would not help me to feel any better.
Just melts your heart.
Yeah, it would be like,
all right. So I've been beaten down. With that analogy, how did I make this stuff up? What do I know? All I know, and I'm not saying, you know, all men are going crazy.
No,
it's just,
but you notice.
We notice other women. You don't say that to your wife. Uh-huh. Wow, look at, you know, unless your wife, my wife can handle it, but I'm an old geezer. I'm 60 years old. She laughs. None of them want to pay attention to me anyway. And she does it to me.
Okay.
You know, she's like, wow, look at that guy, you know. But there's some 20-year-old really buff guy, and he looks like he's been...
And how does that... That doesn't...
It doesn't do anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
If you knew, all the time, every day, your wife was, look at that guy, look at that guy,
I don't say that every day, all day long.
No.
But I'm just saying men, every day, usually, is the great... Whether it's every day or not, some guys is every day. Unless you live in a... place where you're never around anybody, never see anybody. It depends on the guy.
Yeah.
If you're all you do is work around a bunch of sweaty, ugly men all day long, yeah, you probably don't have a problem with it. But look at these guys that ugly, sweaty men that work. As soon as some pretty girl goes, guy, what do they all do?
They all.
Baby, you know, not your Christian should do that, but. But don't tell me the Christian guy isn't thinking that.
They're thinking that whistle, that wolf whistle, is in his head.
They should take it as a sign of a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may not fly.
They're recognizing your beauty.
Look, what we kind of all agree on is it's very common. It's the most common temptation.
Yes, and that
for
you shouldn't say it.
And you shouldn't talk to your wife about it. Women always say, what are you thinking? And men usually say,
nothing.
There's two reasons he says nothing. One is because, in all likelihood, he's probably not thinking anything. Right. And the second reason he says nothing is he doesn't want you to...
And you don't want to know.
And you don't know what he was thinking.
No.
So if you have the option, no matter what, nothing. I'm thinking about nothing. Yeah.
I don't want to know. I mean, I'm sure that my husband sees other women. I don't want to know that. I just don't.
Okay, that's the problem. The whole problem here is he is telling her his personal temptations. I think it's a bad idea for men to do that.
How do I help her to realize, get over it? It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Like, no,
well, it is what it is, but shut up.
Yeah, don't do that, dude. I'm trying to help her. Obviously, I'm not helping her at all. Listen, if she's offended by the fact that any man she's with is going to be attracted to other women, she should stay single.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say to her. No, seriously.
No, that I agree with that.
She's headed for trouble because if she's really that freaked out and everything I said is so freaked out and so traumatizing, and if there's women watching the show now, oh, that's just horrible, you know, well.
Then you don't want anything to do with a guy.
Yeah, really. And if you're asking your husband right now and say, does he ever do that? He's probably going to say, no.
Don't ask. Ladies, do not ask that question. Why do you want to know that? That's hurtful to know the answer. You don't want to know.
But just because there's a difference between noticing and having that kind of temptation, seeing someone who's pretty, than lusting.
Well, and the problem that too many women have is...
They see no definition between the two.
No, their problem is if they know you're looking at another woman, they automatically think, you want her instead of me.
No.
You'd rather have her instead of me. I'm not good enough for you. That's what they think, and that's why they get so upset by it. And you know how I know that? Because I am one. Well, it's true, even though you don't think I am.
I didn't say anything about you. You're so confused in so many levels. We try not to get into personal counseling sessions with Diane.
It's a whole season right there.
It's a whole season of shows.
Stop! So. No, you just told me the other day that I'm one of the most normal people that you know.
I said that?
Which is frightening.
Clearly I was lying, and I need to repent for my lying. Okay. I don't even remember the conversation. Look, so if you think that way, and you really feel that way, then your husband should never say to you, holy cow, look at her.
No, I didn't say that I think that. I'm just saying that there are women who do think that.
You said, but I'm one.
No, because I understand women.
Oh, you're one as a woman?
Yes!
Oh, I thought you were one of those people.
I'm one of them. No, I'm a woman. No.
You're a woman. Well, there's debates whether or not you're actually a woman.
You don't think I am. See, oh my gosh. I feel like we need to start this whole segment over. You're so lost.
I am totally lost.
No,
you know what we have here? is a failure to communicate. So I'm saying things people are not understanding. And certainly with this couple, they are not communicating well.
Right.
Either he's insulting her by pointing out the fact that he feels something, which don't do, number two. Or she's a little nutcase thinking that if he truly loved her, he'd never feel attracted by any other one, which is crazy.
Yeah. That but there are women who think that. Well, I'm just crazy. Telling you that.
So when you say that was me, I know because I am one. You meant I know because I am a woman that understands other women.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were like that.
No.
Because every time I say Nancy's pretty, you get upset then. And you're saying, I don't want to be in the show anymore.
I'm tendering my resignation letter every time. Every time. I always do that.
All right. Talk about a session that is totally crash and burned. Have we beat this to death?
I guess.
All right.
The show is about jumping to conclusions.
Pretty much.
I guess.
All right. So.
Because your father always jumps to conclusions. He never listens and thinks it through.
I don't know if I've helped or made myself clear in any way. My advice, don't tell your fiancé, girlfriend, whatever, your personal story. And now if you have real lusting personal story, then you need to go talk to some guys. Go to your pastor, go to some people and help you with that. Because Jesus said you're not supposed to look on a woman and lust after her. What I'm saying is you can look on a woman and not lust after her, but yet see that she's an attractive woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay. What do I know? We'll take a break. We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
We're back on the Mark Unger Show. Assuming you're back. If you're still listening to the show, watching the show, you got way too much free time. All right. We're answering questions about... I think we've offended everyone right now.
Probably.
Love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your emails. Telling you we want to know what we think. We're telling what we think. If you disagree, by the way, get in line. It's funny people write us long letters.
Telling.
Correcting our thinking.
Mm-hmm. And how you handle people and how we handle the emails. And
okay. But really, save your
I don't care.
There's people who really, really care about what everybody else thinks about them. They do.
I know they do.
And they greatly, and I suppose a wise person would sit and listen to, I'm apparently not wise. I don't, the minute I see someone writing me a big thing about how they're correcting me, I just hit delete.
Delete.
That's the advantage of not being around them in person.
Delete.
Delete. Because I don't really care. So nobody agrees on everything. I don't even assume anybody. I don't assume anybody agrees with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm comfortable with that. I don't know. All right, what do you got?
Okay, I hope there's enough time to fit this whole thing in, even though we have a big chunk. Okay, it's a guy writing again.
Wow, it's the man show
day. He says, "Dear Mark, let me start by saying I completely agree that sex is a wonderful, beautiful, intimate thing that should only be shared between married couples."
Okay.
That's good. Established that.
Yes.
Hang on to that thought, please. I'm in my mid-20s. My future wife and I are the happiest, most functional couple. I'm going to repeat that. We are the happiest, most functional couple I've ever known, and we're always on the same page about everything.
Uh-huh.
We're both Christians and serve at church weekly.
Okay.
Thanks to your Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage series, I've gotten over porn, and we're determined to abstain until marriage.
Cool.
First question. How do you feel about couples in a committed relationship on the path to marriage, living together, sleeping together, showering together, effectively living entirely like a married couple, minus the sex? Of course, it begged the question, is this what the two of you are doing? And he says, yes, we are living together and are functioning as any healthy married couple would, except no sex.
All right.
She does not masturbate. We've talked about it. And she said she doesn't care if I do or not, but she's very happy that I'm not watching porn or thinking of anyone else other than her, apparently, when he does it. From listening to previous shows, I get the impression Mark will blatantly say, don't do it when it comes to masturbation. But it seems in our circumstances, given we're in a committed, healthy relationship that is on the path to marriage, we've set a date and everything, it seems like a bit of a gray area.
Okay. You want to know what I think? Here's what I think. I think you're crazy. And you guys are probably the most dysfunctional people I've ever heard of. You got two types of people. You got some people who don't control their sexual appetites. Okay. That's the one extreme. Two extremes of people, not two types. Two extremes. They can't control their appetites. Then there's people who don't seem to have any normal appetites. If you can sleep with this woman, shower with this woman, do all that, but never have sex with them, either one of you, you guys are little nuts.
See, he thinks if he just gets too torqued up that then he can masturbate as long as he's thinking of her and that will take care of it. And is that fine?
No. No, if your version of normal is this, you have no idea how abnormal you are. I'm at a loss for words. Mm-hmm. Look, he listens to the show. He likes my opinion. What you're doing is crazy. I think you guys are a disaster waiting to happen. If you can do all of this and your wife's happy with all, my concern as a guy, if I'm with a woman like that, she's happy with the scenario. When I get married to her, it wouldn't surprise me if she didn't want to have sex with me.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at that either.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I think you're headed.
I can see the writing on the wall with that one.
You're headed for very likely a woman who, when you try to have sex with her, she's going to push you away and I'm not interested and maybe once a month, you know, if you're lucky kind of thing. I think you're headed for a really bad situation, you know. And for her standpoint, you know, a guy who just lives like this and just sits there and self-gratifies himself, the opposite could happen. He's more interested in gratifying himself than having sex with her. Guys all their lives who make love to themselves really don't enjoy having sex with women that much.
He says it's he'd much rather problem. Be having sex with her.
How does he know that?
That's a good point.
And who gets that intimate with someone and never has sex with them?
It seems very dysfunctional.
I mean, you
to
guys
me.
Are like
very.
It's about conservation. And you two are completely missing the point.
We're missing
Think of the amount of electricity you're saving by sharing one light bulb instead of two separate rooms with two light bulbs. One shower versus all the water wasted on the two.
Nancy, how does something vibe on my iTunes?
Old man break.
Old man break. How do you do it? Come here.
He can't figure it out.
Come over here.
He can't figure it out.
Staff meeting. I can't take it anymore. I don't even see a volume. Where do you see volume?
On your iTunes.
Where? There's nothing there. Talk amongst yourselves. It's driving me crazy. See, he can't find it either. See, I'm not as crazy as everybody thinks I am.
It's just this. If this is up, it's up. What are you talking about?
Well, it was how come it's so quiet? I was trying to make my cuckoo sound.
There it is.
I don't know. Still not. Anyway, I got to fix something. I got something wrong in my ears. All right. So are we done with this? This guy. Dude, you're totally dysfunctional. It's crazy. You're doing the wrong stuff. Do life right. God, you know, these people. What's the big thrill of the honeymoon at this point? You've done everything else.
No, they haven't.
Well, everything but that. Everything but penetration.
Sex. No, they haven't had oral sex. They haven't done anything.
But he's sleeping with her, showering naked with her.
Wait, did he say naked?
No, they shower clothes on. That's an assumption on my part. Okay, listen, dude, I think you're crazy. I don't know what to say. Peace. Gosh, I got it. I can't take it.
I guess
it.
We did fit it in.
To take a break. We'll be back with one more, I think, right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
We never ever fuss and fight. We learned a long time ago how to get it right. Hugs and kisses, sweet perfume. My baby loves me, so I sing this tune.
I love my baby. Yeah, I love my baby. Sweet, sweet. Yeah, I love my baby. And my baby loves me.
Music of Jimmy Bratcher. Back on the Mark Gunger Show. I finally fixed my iTunes. There was a button. Couldn't find the stupid button. I can hear it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Now I'm happy. I don't know if anybody else cares, but I'm happy. What do you got?
She says, are romance novels an issue in marriage? When I say romance novels, an example would be Nicholas Sparks' books.
Oh, yeah, like I know what that means.
Lot. The Notebook, Walk to Remember.
Okay.
Okay, got it. Now, my husband, which I love so much, despises the fact that I read these books. Uh-huh. It is not that I hide somewhere to read them. I actually talk to him about the books when I'm finished, what I enjoyed or what I did not like. But he says he hates me reading these books because he believes that my emotions will go into reading the books instead of him. Uh-huh. He also says he believes it would be the same as if I was reading porn. Now, uh-huh. I understand what he's trying to say, but I'm also confused. I mean, watching an action...
You're not confused. They're not confused.
She says...
They're not confused. I'm telling you. I'm just...
She thinks that watching an action movie with her husband, which he enjoys and she also does, is the same concept of reading a book. It's entertainment. It is something you enjoy. As a pastor, I'm asking you and your team because I want an honest answer.
The honest answer is forget the debate. Forget the stupid debate. Okay? I would be like her husband. I think romance novels is the equivalent of female porn. Just like a guy looking at naked chicks. It's the same thing to me. Now, whether you agree with that, I don't care. Don't write me. I don't want to know. The problem here is, what does 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, love does not seek its own. Mm-hmm. Your husband is saying to you, he despises, using your own words, he despises you reading these books, and you read them anyway. You are a self-centered, narcissistic little snot. That's what I think. If you really loved it, I'm telling you, if I'm doing something, I don't care what it is, if I hold my bobblehead, and I love my bobblehead because it looks like me. And my wife said, I hate it when you do that. It just disgusts me.
She despises when you
hold your bobblehead.
And
we debate and we argue. And I still hold my bobblehead everywhere I went. Let's say, I go everywhere in public like this. And she says, I don't mind the bobblehead, but I hate the fact that you do that in public. Quit that. You look like a crazy person. No, everybody understands this. No, they don't. They think you're crazy. No, woman, I like doing it. So, if she really says, I despise you walking around with your bobblehead. I should actually put it on my shoulder. Kind of like a...
You got
like
a chip on your shoulder.
I should put one on each one. Good and evil are speaking to me all the time. Okay? And my wife says, I despise that you put those things on your shoulders. What does love do, Mrs.
Love
Briley?
Love does not seek its own.
What would you do, Phil?
Have you thought about this before? It kind of seemed like this was pre-planned.
I'm just saying. No. Okay, if your wife says, I despise your beard. I hate your beard. I just hate it. Because actually, you look like you're getting ready to join Al-Qaeda to me. But so she said, I despise it. She really told me. It really upsets me. What do you do?
I would shave it.
You shave it.
Oh, no. Some people say you need to get over it.
But that's not love. See, love does not seek its own. People say, I love myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. No matter, I know that it really makes it. Now, there's little things I do all the time.
So you mean like, for instance, I'm going to air your dirty laundry. For instance, if your wife says, I do not.
What?
I don't. You look like you had something on your head.
Really?
It's Ash Wednesday.
Okay. I hate you people.
If your wife says, don't say that ho, ho, ho thing, Mark.
Yes.
Don't do that ho,
yes.
ho, ho thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But you'll do it anyway?
Yeah, I do. But there's a certain amount of playfulness that goes back and forth with it. Okay? And she always says, because people don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
And all I got to do is go in front of a crowd of
and
people.
And have them laugh.
And they roar hysterically. And she still says, people don't think it's funny. So, but I mean, if she really pushed it to where, she was really
upset. If she
really
told you
upset,
that she hated it and she despised
I can't,
it.
I, you know, yeah.
And she was really angry, you would not.
You can always debate things.
Yeah.
Nobody gets all their way. But I mean, here your husband is saying, by your own words, he despises the fact that you read these. And he's got some basis, because I think it is female porn. And I've read some of these romance novels. Holy cow. It is porn.
Well, sexually, it can be porn, but emotionally, that's what these chicks get all hung up into.
But just the sexual stuff that they describe.
Both.
I mean, it's one thing to see it. The other thing, they describe it in such...
Yeah.
Rather creative prose, I must say. It's like, I'm going, whoa, somebody spray me with some water. I just look at page 2, okay? Don't tell me it's just romance, because it's not just romance. Because they have sex like crazy in these romance novels. It is porn. Shame on you. And anyway, if you don't agree with me, so what? Your husband's asking you politely to stop it, and he despises doing it. If you really love him, you'd stop it. That's what I think. All right, what else you got?
Oh, that was the end of your rant.
I could go for another hour, but I think everybody gets
okay.
the point.
Okay, here, we'll squeeze this one in.
All right.
She says, my kids are still little, 10 and 6, but I know all along with the sex talk that it should probably include certain topics. Certain respected Christian family leaders say...
Whoa. The sex talk should include certain topics.
What should be included in, like what topics should be included?
What should... Okay,
so like, up against them.
For example, like what?
Her question is about masturbation, about how to talk to her kids, because she knows that there's certain Christian leaders that say that it's okay.
Oh, no, dear God.
And we know to what she is
referring.
Look,
all that matters, you put your values into your child. You tell them what you believe is right and wrong. That's all you got to do. Doesn't matter what, and at some level, it doesn't matter what I think or anybody else thinks. As a parent, you put your values into your kids. You talk about it. Tell them this is what you think. So this is not what Mark Unger thinks. Say, this is what I think. And you know, really, dear, who should be doing it? Your husband should be doing it. All studies have shown the single greatest deciding factor on the moral decisions of children always comes from the father. All right, we'll see you.
Bye, bye, boy.
Have fun storming the castle.